Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
It's been a while since I shared something funny, but here we go. A preacher was completing a sermon on temperance. Started making these grandiose statements. He said, if I could, I'd take all the beer in the world and I'd take it down to the river and I'd dump it in the river. Somebody said amen, and he said, well, that hit good. He said, well, if I could take all the wine, I would take it and I would dump it in the river. A couple more people said amen. He said, if I could take all the liquor, all the whiskey and tequila and bourbon, he said, I would take it. I'd pour it straight down into the river. At that moment, the song leader stood and was a little nervous, and with a wry smile, he said, for our closing song, let us sing hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River? That's pretty good. Most of y'all caught that. That's good. That's good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you can have fun in church. Now tell him it's time to get serious about the word. Let's go. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith, not then faith, not when faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Which means you cannot have faith until you've had hope. Turn to two people around you and tell them, get your hopes up. You may be seated. This series has designed, because you don't hear that phrase, most people are telling you, now don't get your hopes up. We want to be that church. I want to be that preacher, that pastor that tells you every day, get your hopes up. This year, since we unveiled this on January 10th, there has not been a day that it's not gone past that I have not texted Mandy and my kids in our group text, get your hopes up. I want it to become a part of our life. I want us to be shocked when things don't turn out like God said they would. Some of us are shocked when God shows up. I want to be shocked when it doesn't happen like I thought it was going to happen, which should be few and far between. This series, Get Your Hopes Up, has hopefully moved you from the place of asking the question, what if it doesn't work? That's hopeless. To what if it does work? That's hope. To moving into the arena of faith when it works. So many of us are planning to fail that we're not surprised when failure happens. We use words like try and if and maybe and might. And God does not live in that fantasy world. God lives in the world of yes and amen. It shall be done. It will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before there is faith, there must be hope. Now hope unleashes now faith. I love this phrase that God gave me 2 weeks ago in the middle of this preaching. Hope believes it, but faith demands it. Calling those things that are not as though they were, we'll get to that in just a little bit. That is a great hope and faith field, but we cannot declare it in faith unless we believe it in hope. Last session we left off in Hebrews 6:19, talking about that I have a hope. That hope is Jesus, and he is an anchor, sure, that means strong, and steadfast, it means it will hold no matter what. That hope is that anchor. It keeps your faith, just like a boat, it keeps your faith from drifting. Hope keeps your faith focused. Some of us look at that anchor, and we mistake it for a ball and chain. If you'll put up the ball and chain one more time, that ball and chain, we use that in reference a lot of times in a negative way when we're talking about our spouses. Come on now, wake up. A lot of times we talk, well, I got that old ball and chain. It's always a negative thing. But a ball and chain looks eerily just like an anchor and does the same thing, throw the anchor up. Now that picture of the anchor is a lot more exciting because of the strength that it is. It does the same things. It keeps you from moving. And it keeps you from doing what you want to do. You say, well, I want to do what I want to do. I know you do. So do I. But you know what? I'm not talking about you not doing what you desire to do. Sometimes I want to quit and hope the anchor, that is Jesus, won't let me quit. Sometimes I want to run and hide or run back to who I used to be. But my hope that is Jesus is my anchor that said, no, Brandon, you're having a bad moment. You're having a bad day. You're having a bad week. You might even had a bad year. But don't throw the rest of your life away just because of a bad chapter in your life. Just turn the page. If it's a bad book, put that book on the shelf and get the next volume. I'm here to tell you, if you know Jesus, tough times can't last. Craziness can't last. But your hope, your anchor in Christ holds fast and it holds strong no matter what comes your way. When you look at this, at this anchor, didn't get to it last week. These links are not snapped on. Those links are welded on. Out at the ranch, I've got two types of things that hold. I've got chains that I put snaps on, and I've got things that have been welded. The things that I have snaps on are things that I want to move. Some of us have gotten too comfortable just snapping into the anchor that is Jesus when we need him. And what we look like in the spirit is what our friends in Florida and Louisiana look like every time a hurricane comes. They run to the hardware store and they start boarding up the windows. Instead of making necessary adjustments in time when the sun is shining and getting storm shutters on their windows, they only freak out when the storm shows up. Can I encourage you? Jesus is more than a get out of hell free card. Jesus is more than someone who shows up in the hospital just when you're sick. Jesus is more than just the one that you're begging to get your son out of jail because of something he did. Jesus is an everyday anchor. So I don't snap into him. I am welded into him. So even when I want to leave, I can't leave. Why? Because the anchor holds me. I hold the anchor and I'm welded in. Hey, you know what has to happen for welding to work? Has to get hot. There has to be a flame. There has to, oh, come on now. See, some of us, we avoid the fire. Oh, you shouldn't avoid the fire. The Holy Spirit is a fire. And when it burns on me and in me, everything that is not of God is burned out of me. And everything that is of God, it is strengthened. It is refined. Everything that is left is stronger after the fire than when I went through. Every time you pray, every time you show up at Living Way, you are letting God put that welder's torch on you, that flame on you, saying, I'm making you a little stronger. I'm making you a little more durable. I'm making you greater. I'm giving you more anointing. Why? Because there's a hurricane coming in the middle of 2022. It's going to take everybody else out on your block. But because you have your hope anchored in me and you are welded with the flame, you're going to make it to the other side of the storm. Jesus is not a genie. Quit talking to him only when you need help. I talk to Jesus and I talk to myself all day long. God, help me. Brandon, what were you thinking? God, help me. I made a mistake. God, help me clean that up. God, I wasn't thinking. God, my mind is wondering. God, I've tried to torch through that chain. I've tried to do my own thing. God, bring me back. That hope that is an anchor, it is strong, it is sure, it is steadfast. It will hold no matter what. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickened the dead. That means he made things that were dead alive. It's really not in my notes, but anytime that we talk about resurrection, we need to talk about resurrection. It doesn't matter what it feels like and looks like today. If God called you to have it, if it looks dead, it's just playing possum. And even if it is dead, there's multiple accounts of Jesus. With the widow of Nain's son, they were carrying him to be buried, and Jesus brought life back into him. Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and he brought life back into him. Jesus was dead 3 days, and he brought himself through his spirit back to life. I am here to tell you in 2022, let it be. I know we're talking about get our hopes up, but when we talk about up, we've got to talk about resurrection. Let 2022 be the year your hopes, your dreams, your destiny, your vision, your goals, your family, let it be resurrected. Quicken the dead and call those things which are not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope? Who against hope? There's two hopes here. Who against hope believed in hope? Not the same definition. The first kind of hope is mere probably. It's a probability. that first hope is maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. The chances are in my favor, the chances are not. Some of our faith is like that magic eight ball you had when you were in third grade. God, am I going to make it out of this alive? Signs point to yes. God, are my prodigals coming home? Ask later. And so we're hoping with the mere chance. But that next hope, we hope against hope. That second hope is the hope that is a divine hope. It's a hope, and I'm saying I am hoping in Christ against mere probability. I am hoping in Jesus against it might happen or maybe it will happen. My divine hope says, the word of God said this, I believe that, I am standing on it, and so I am hoping against hope that it is going to happen. Why do you have to hope against hope? Because from the very moment you were born, you've had parents, friends, family, maybe even pastors who have counseled you and told you to manage your expectations. I am here to tell you to get irrational expectations. I am here to tell you to get crazy faith, as our friend Mike Todd likes to preach. I am here to tell you to get crazy hope. Well, I don't want to sound crazy. You're always going to sound crazy to nobody's doing nothing. But when you find yourself a praise partner, which you should, when you find yourself that's got somebody that has crazy faith just like you, it does something to you. You start talking crazy, they start talking crazy back to you. You start hyping them up, they start hyping you up. And so when you hope against hope, you need to remind yourself what they said doesn't matter about what God said over my life. If God said it, that settles it. I believe it. Let's go in Jesus' name. It's the difference between hope based on human nature and hope based on the supernatural. When I say I hope that this year will be better, I am not taking into account who is president of the United States. When I say I hope that my finances are better in 2022, I am not looking at the stock market. And let me tell you something. There are millionaires that were made in the last 5 days because the stock market plummeted. And other people lost a lot, but there was a lot of people waiting for the dip, and they bought in the dip. I'm here to tell you, doesn't matter what's going on in life. I can make it work, not me. God can make it work for my good and your benefit and your good when you hope supernaturally against a human natured hope. Without the supernatural hope, hope becomes something we all want but realize that it is unattainable. All too often we realize and we recognize that natural hope is impractical, hence the idiom of idiots, don't get your hope up. I don't want to ever mismanage your hope. I remember 10 or 15 years ago, one of the smallest guys at in our youth ministry at the time came up to me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even think he was on his middle school football team. But I remember talking to him about vision one day. And he said, Pastor Brandon, I want to play in the NFL. Now, listen, I'm going to shock you with this next statement. I'm not the most athletic person you've ever met. But in that moment, my flesh wanted to tell him, you probably are going to want to pick a different career field. But I didn't. Because I don't want to be the person responsible for killing hope in someone else. I say that to say this. If somebody starts releasing crazy vision around you and you can't say nothing that encourages that, then zip your lip and shut your mouth, and you need to go in a closet and check your faith and your hope, and don't come out until, you remember when your mama and daddy used to send you into your room when you had a bad attitude, and don't you come back out until your face is fixed and you got a more pleasant personality. I'm telling some believers, we got to get in a room in our secret place of thunder and say, hey, I'm not coming out until my faith is reconciled with what God said. I'm not coming out until my hope matches what the word of God said for me. Who am I to say? Who am I to say that young man wasn't going to hit a growth spurt? Who am I to say? Brought me great pleasure seeing Priest Holmes beating on that Kansas City drum, knowing that Priest Holmes was raised right here in this church. Man, it blessed me when one of our young men that went through all the way through Jam Children's Ministry and GX and got a full ride to the University of Texas and was playing in national championship games. Who am I at 6, 7, 8 years old to rain on their parade when they say, hey, this is where my hope is? I, as a pastor, as a friend, as a mentor, as a coach, should be able to look at them and say, if that's what God has shown you, then I'm all on board. And what can I do to keep your faith up and make sure that that dream becomes a reality? Tell me about your business, I'm going to amen you. Tell me about your vision, I'm going to amen you. Why? Because you're calling those things that are not as though they are. I'm going to help your hope rise. Every time you come in here on a Wednesday night, hope is going to rise in 2022. Every time you come in here on a Sunday morning, hope is going to arise in 2022. Your kids at kids' church, they're coming home with dreams. Please, parents, don't rain on their parade. Don't devastate their dreams. Speak life into it. If they want to be an astronaut, let them be an astronaut. If they got ideas for tech, you say, man, all they do is play video games. Manage the video game time, but who knows? They might be the next developer of the next Nintendo, Sega, PlayStation, Xbox. Who knows what's living in your house? Don't kill hope. Let it arise. Romans 4:19. And be not weak in faith. Be not weak in faith. It's talking about Abraham. He considered not his own body. Remember, God called Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife Sarah was 90 years old. They had never had a child together. And God says, not only are you going to have children, he said, you're going to be the father of many nations. He said, out of you, he said, there's going to come a people that the stars in the galaxy will look like what you produce. The sands on the shore will look like. And this is the time in his life when he should be eating green Jell-O down at the nursing home. He should be playing a round of golf. And God said, no, we're just getting started. I wasn't going to say this, but can I talk to the 75-year and older crew in this room and watching online? If you still have breath in your body, there is still a lot of living left to do. There is still a lot of dreaming left to do. There is still a lot of work left to do. Don't think this world has passed you by. They need you. Don't think this church has passed you by. We need you. We need your dreams. We need your vision. We need your wisdom. We need your experience. Can I remind you that Colonel Sanders didn't become the colonel that we know at KFC till he was in his mid to late 60s. If God has given you a dream and a vision for your family, for this church, for this nation, let me tell you something. Dream on, get your hopes up, and let's get ready. And be not weak in his faith, Abraham considered not his own body, now dead. So it's not just his age. His body was dead as it came to producing children. When he was about 100 years old is when God talked to him. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb at 90. Some of you ladies are in this room and at 45 or 50, if you found out you were pregnant, every time Mandy has a stomach ache, every single time, she said, man, will you pray for my stomach? I said, maybe you're pregnant. She hates that joke. Like, look at her right now. Look at her. She's shaking her head. Her lips are pursed. I said, come on, Mandy. You'd be mad for about 15 minutes. Then you'd be so excited. She said, no, I'd be mad for 9 months. And then the way she talks, it might be more than 9 months. I don't know. Like, I might have to take care of that kid for a couple years. Abraham's body's dead. Sarah's body, 90 years old, and God starts talking about get the nursery ready. Oh, come on now. Before he can become the father of faith, he has to become the father of hope. I hope what you're saying is true. I believe what you're saying is true. All right, Abraham, if you believe it, go tell Sarah. If you believe it, start building the nursery. If you believe it, start planning the gender reveal. Come on. If you believe it, I believe in this house today that God has given some things, and you're looking at the situation, you're looking at everything around you, and it doesn't seem right to you, but I'm here to tell you, if God spoke it to you, start talking about it, start preparing for it, start planning for it, and get ready for the announcement. if you're going to get your hopes up, and I got just three or four things that I want to encourage you with before we end this session. If you're going to get your hopes up, you're going to have to become inconsiderate. We look at that word and we are trained from a very young age, don't be inconsiderate, consider other people's feelings. I'm not talking about that inconsiderate. We should be kind. There's a lot of crazy Christians that are doing us a bad disservice by the way they act when they're not in church. You telling somebody they're going to hell is not helping. You encouraging somebody that they need Jesus, that's the way to go. You screaming at the cashier at Ross Dress for Less because the line wraps around the store twice. You saw that line when you walked in. Don't get mad when you stand in it for 45 minutes. When you act crazy at your job, when you act crazy at your school, and they know you're a Christian, you are doing us a disservice. That is not the inconsiderate I'm talking about. The Bible says that if Abraham was going to become the father of hope and faith and have a child at 100 and his wife at 90, he could not consider some things. Number one, he could not consider the deadness of his own body. This is what I want to encourage you with, and this excites me. Because I don't have a lot of talent in my body. There's not a lot of things I can do. But the Bible said that Abraham did not consider the deadness of his own body. Your lack of ability does not mean that God cannot do what he has called you to do. Even if you can't speak, don't worry, Moses. God's going to work it out. It doesn't matter if you're 100, God is going to work it out. Doesn't matter if you're 16, God is going to work it out. Doesn't matter if you've been divorced twice, God is going to work it out. Doesn't matter if you come in with a rap sheet, God is going to work it out. It's not on your ability. It is on the ability of Jesus Christ, and there is nothing that my God cannot do. So when God promises me something, I don't look in the mirror. I just say, God, if that's what you said we're going to do, then that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to look at my age. I'm not going to look at my liabilities and weaknesses. If that's what you called me to do, then that settles it. I'm not going to consider who I am. I'm going to lean into who you are. Second thing he did not consider was the deadness of Sarah's womb. What God was calling him to do was not going to be fixed by medication from the doctor. Was not going to be fixed by a romantic weekend in Fredericksburg. It had to be a God moment. This is where hope has to get crazy, y'all. Because he did not consider the deadness of his body. See, if it's on me, I like when it's on me. I like when the pressure's on me. I operate well under pressure. But if you hook up somebody with me, and now I've got to start depending on them, now it's a whole nother ball game. You can ask Mario. Mandy and I, when our administrator moved positions and we bless her and she's still here at this church and it was time for her to do something great and she's doing great things. But when Mario came into this church, Mario can tell you the first few weeks it was not fun because when we would assign tasks to him and Lauren, I would literally text him 10 times a day. Hey, did you get it done? Hey, where are you at on this? Why? Because it was all on me for so long and all on Mandy for so long. That when God brought people into the dream and into the vision, he said, I'm not going to bring somebody that's going to be a detriment to your dream. I'm not going to bring somebody that's going to injure your hope. Anybody I bring you is going to add to and bless. And so I want to encourage you, where it takes crazy hope is when God hooks you up with a Sarah, and then you've got to be inconsiderate of your deadness, but also look at her and say, it doesn't matter what she looks like. It doesn't matter how many candles are on her birthday cake. If you said she's going to have a child, then my hope is in you, not in her. And so I don't consider her age, her body, my age, or my body. You have to be able to look past the inability of the third party. See, how does that relate to me? I'm not having kids. I'm glad you asked. Your boss is a third party in your hopes and in your dream. Your friends sitting next to you today are third parties. Your family are third party. And you say, man, God promised he was going to do this in my house, but doesn't he know that my husband's still out there living like crazy? God knows your husband. God knows your husband better than you. So when he tells you something about your husband, listen. He knows him better than you. He sees what he's doing in his heart. You didn't know that your husband's been praying. Every once in a while, he says, God, I really need your help. You said, I didn't know that. Yeah, Jesus has been talking to your husband about your dreams, your hopes, your vision. Just because you don't know doesn't mean it's not happening. God has been talking to your boss about your promotion. God has been talking about the person that makes decisions based. It's a third party. And even when it doesn't look like it's working, I don't consider the third party, the inability of the third party. The third thing he was inconsiderate of is the impossibility of God's promise. How crazy it is. Remember, if the promise is not crazy, it's not from God. Everything God tells me that he's going to do in my life, I have to lean into him because I know I can't do it. There's no way. When he gives me a vision, all right, God, that's huge. That's going to take this many people. That's going to take this many millions of dollars. God, you've given me that vision. I know I can't do it. So you know what I do? Every day I wake up with a pen and paper in my hand. All right, God, what do we need to do today? Why? Because I'm not the one who promised. He's the one who promised. If he tells me the promise, guess what he's going to do? He's going to give me the plan. And when I get the plan, that's me prepping to go to a place that God has called me. Somebody would say, prepare to go there. That's what I'm doing. I'm preparing to go where God has called me to be. But when he gives me a promise, I can't shrink back. I can't look at him cross-eyed. I can't fold my arms and say, God, are you sure you got the right house and the right man? God knows exactly who he was talking about. God knows your situation. God knows all of the negativity that surrounds you. And guess what? He still gave you a promise. Get your hopes up. Get him up. Get him up. You don't know my husband. You don't know my God. You don't know my boss. You don't know my God. You don't know my coach. You don't know my God. I am here to tell you, get rid of all the faithless, hopeless things, people, statements, all of that, and start looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Verse 20. And he staggered not. Abraham staggered not. Bishop's book that he wrote many years ago, From Stagger to Swagger. You should buy it. We've got some copies left. We'll put them out. You can buy them. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's hard to preach. He started walking when his hope wasn't up yet. Oh, you missed it. He staggered not through unbelief. Doesn't say he staggered not after unbelief. He woke up saying, was that a pizza dream at 3 a.m.? Or was that God speaking about my life? Woke up at 9 a.m. Sarah greeted him before she put her dentures back in. Come on now, sometimes it doesn't look like a miracle. And he said, did I really hear from God? But you know what? He started walking through. I want hope to rise in you today. But you say, Pastor, this seems like a lot of hype. You're doing a lot of screaming, a lot of shouting. I'm not going to have that tomorrow. Can I just encourage you, even if you don't feel it, hear it, or believe it, can you just start walking in faith? Saying, God, keep talking. I'm listening. Saying, God, keep speaking. I'm listening. And every step you take, God is going to become louder. Every step you make, God's promise that was concealed becomes revealed. The Bible says he staggered not, standing on your feet all over this house. I've got 5 minutes left. We'll be done in 5 minutes with the altar call. You'll be on your way to Papa Do's, McDonald's, or somewhere in between. Staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21 will blow your mind if you've got your hope where it needs to be. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You know when he was fully persuaded, Sister Tanya, while he walked? He walked through unbelief. But as he walked, he got stronger in faith. And in two verses' time, he went from staggering to swagger in Christ. He went from unbelieving to God, I'm getting my nursery ready. You promised me a boy, I'm getting the blue clothes. I'm getting the Dallas Cowboys jersey. I'm getting ready. I am ready for what you're going to do. Four things that hope will do. He staggered not, hope will fix your walk. Hope will fix your walk. Number two, it will help you overcome belief. If you're dealing with unbelief in here in any form, if you're having trouble even believing in Jesus as Savior, hope. Hope will overcome that unbelief. Number three, hope strengthens your faith. He said he was strong in faith. And then I love this. Hope has pre-praise, giving glory to God before his son was ever even announced as conceived. He was thanking God for what he had already done, even though his house was still empty. Get your hopes up. First thing I want to encourage you to do is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I started off this message today talking about the anchor that is strong and steadfast. It will always hold. Can I tell you that people have let me down? Jesus has not. I've lost money. I've never lost him. Lost friends, never lost him. Lost things, never lost him. Lost peace of mind, never lost Jesus. Boom, he's always there. You've tried a lot of things, now try Jesus. When you taste and see that he is good, you'll never go back to how it used to be. If you don't know Jesus today, you've never accepted him as your Savior, you've never made him your Lord, I'm going to ask you to get out of your chair. I'm going to ask you to meet us. On Friday night, Empower was a crazy good night for our ladies.